Turning closer to home now, in the embattled Balkan region, finding an agreement on the future status of the breakaway province of Kosovo is proving an elusive goal. The deadlock between the territory's Albanian majority and Serbia is so complete that many now believe no agreement is ever going to be reached by the two sides. Kosovo is still legally part of Serbia, but has been under a UN administration installed after a NATO bombing campaign ended a violent Serb crackdown against ethnic Albanians seeking independence. An international envoy said recently that the partition of Kosovo could be acceptable as a way of breaking the deadlock over the province's future. An earlier plan drawn up by the UN Special Envoy for Kosovo, Martti Ahtisaari, proposed giving the territory a form of internationally supervised independence, but that was given the thumbs down by Serbia. As the long-running diplomatic efforts to resolve Kosovo's future continues, Susie Hodges has been finding out how the rival communities in the territory view each other, and in particular about a program that is helping the younger generation to look beyond the ethnic hatreds of the past.
Kosovo has been the backdrop to a centuries-old and often tense relationship between its Serb and ethnic Albanian inhabitants. Albanian Kosovars currently make up more than 90% of the population, while the Serb minority live in isolated enclaves under NATO protection. Deep-seated ethnic hatreds and mistrust were stirred up by the brutal conflict of the 1990s in Kosovo. And Catholic Relief Services is an NGO that has taken on the daunting task of trying to promote reconciliation and trust between these two hostile communities. Florent Vranica is the head of office for Catholic Relief Services, or CRS, in Kosovo. He's an ethnic Albanian and is based in the capital, Pristina. He says the partition of Kosovo as a way out of the current deadlock over the territory's future is opposed not just by his ethnic grouping, but also by the Serb minority.
Partition is ruled out from both sides, from Albanian side in Kosovo and from Serb side. Partition would mean that north of Kosovo, the port north of River Ibar, to be separated from the other port. And it is understandable that most of the important historical and heritage sites of the Serb population or Serb community, like Dečani Monastery, Gračanica Monastery, would remain then in the other part of Kosovo. So it's understandable that that is not the option for Kosovo Serbs as well. However, we all know that many voices are saying that if Kosovo will declare self-independence, the Albanian side, then the local Serb, particularly the ones who live in the north of river, will declare independence within that act. So I think at this point, no party has expressed any willingness on division or partition.
Vranica says there's still a lot of pent-up anger among the population of Kosovo, and he fears that going for the partition option could provoke violence.
According to what we hear from the news and from different analysts and from the declaration of politicians, the division could spark conflict, maybe isolated conflict in a northern port. But if Kosovo declares independence unilaterally, definitely the Serbs in Kosovo will come up with some kind of declaration, will declare independence of the northern port, and that will not bring clear decision or any clarity on what's going on.
You mentioned there the threat of violence. Do many people think there is this potential for violence, as you say, if no agreement is reached and both sides go ahead with perhaps independence declarations?
Yeah, I mean, Kosovo is high rates of unemployment in Kosovo in general. The poverty line, which is around 27%, 30% on a $2 per day, and the lack of investments. At this point, everybody links this with this final status resolution, you know, with independence, with no investments. So the prolongation of kind of resolution of this of the status could initiate violence toward politicians, to the government. You know, there is a lot of anger accumulated within the population. That's one thing. The second is that there have been a lot of promises, and not only from the leaders in Kosovo, but also from the international community. With Ahtisaari's plan, with Kosovar's feeling is that there have been a lot of compromises. So yes, I mean, there is a lot of anger inside, and we hear declarations of some groups which are more radical that prolongation can cause violence, and also the partition can cause violence.
Petr Prica is the head of youth programs for CRS and is a Serbian Kosovar based in the city of Mitrovica. Unlike his colleague Vranica, he believes that the risk of violence, although still present, has lessened of late.
I think the potential for violence was bigger, let's say, in the beginning of the Ahtisaari's leading the process, because some countries were giving the statements such as, if we don't reach the agreement, then violence is possible, very possible, because people are losing their patience. At this point, I think that there is less chance for violence comparing to the previous period.
Why is that?
Because from the statements that I'm hearing from both sides, it doesn't seem that either side is ready to use the violence as a main tool for achieving their goal. It's my personal impression, so hopefully it will remain as it is.
They may belong to rival ethnic groups within Kosovo, but both Vranica and Prica are colleagues of the same NGO and say they both enjoy an excellent working relationship with each other. But when it comes to their private lives, both men say that it's extremely rare for any Albanian and Serbian Kosovar to socialise outside working hours. Vranica spells out the reality of the separate lives that both ethnic groups lead within the territory.
Life is separated. In the past 15, 16 years, there was a great division between Kosovo Albanians and Kosovo Serbs. In schools, in universities, even in the bars and cafeterias or wherever people would socialize. So there was a lack of contact. And so my contacts with Serb community are exclusively through my work. And that's the time when I can socialize with them. Otherwise, in private, it's very hard. Not really hard, but there is no chance to have such a communication.
Would you be criticized if you tried to?
No, this is common in Kosovo-wide. There were some researches and some interviews with different people from both sides. People would have a great relations in terms of business or in terms of officially, but when it comes to the private, then people would be much hesitant to socialize because people have different views on the final status. So people don't want to spoil those relations, but want to maintain those relations at the level when the politics will not be mentioned at all.
Prica too echoes Vranica by saying politics is a strictly taboo subject when Albanian and Serbian Kosovars do happen to meet in a business or social setting. So, given these restraints, does he have any Albanian friends in Kosovo?
Yes, I do. I had prior to the war, but it's very difficult for socializing between two ethnicities at this point of time. Sometimes we manage to see each other. That's because I have an opportunity to come into the confidence zone because I'm working with an international NGO. Otherwise, I don't believe we would be able.
But you can still stay friends as long as you stay off the subject of politics then?
Of course. We usually don't discuss that. We discuss our normal lives, our normal things, normal happenings. No, and we don't talk about politics at all.
Given the separate lives of ethnic Albanians and Serbs within Kosovo, it's not surprising that mixed marriages between the two communities are virtually unheard of. Vranica again.
I didn't have a chance to hear that is happening lately. That even didn't happen a lot in the past as well. Mixed marriages in Kosovo were very few, but there are cases. I have a friend who is dating a Serb girl, so there are cases.
Although 8 years have gone by since the end of the war in Kosovo, Vranica says the reconciliation between the two ethnic communities is still only skin deep. And if one scratches beneath the surface, it's easy to uncover long-standing resentments and mistrust.
There was kind of reconciliation between the communities, but it is on surface. The root causes of the entire process have not been addressed. On this clarity, what will be the future? People can live together But at some point, when all this negotiation, all this process come up, you know, it can bring violence again. It can be renewed violence in those communities where there was reconciliation, or at least that where there was a kind of peace and people start to live together.
When it comes to living together, the divided city of Mitrovica is a potent symbol of the lingering enmity between the Albanian and Serb Kosovars. The river flowing through Mitrovica marks the boundary between two hostile halves, the northern Serb district and the southern Albanian district, and the city remains a major flashpoint for clashes between the rival ethnic groups. The tensions are so strong that residents of one side only rarely dare to cross over the bridge into the other side outside working hours. CRS believes the best hope for rebuilding trust and dialogue between these two hostile communities lies in the younger generation. As a result, CRS has helped establish a dialogue between the teenagers of the two rival communities in Mitrovica. They have set up the city-wide youth council to improve facilities and conditions inside their respective schools. The young people from the two communities that belong to this council keep in frequent touch by cell phone, text messaging and chatting on internet forums. As Pritzer explains, the aim is to show that multi-ethnic peace building is possible and that gradually, through projects like this, people's attitudes can be changed.
Throughout these years we tried and we are trying to connect the people, to make them think differently and to make them feel free to went out of their stereotypes about the other side.
And when you talk to these young people, are they initially perhaps quite reluctant or quite prejudiced even to open contacts with members of the other ethnic group?
That's the case. That's the case. In majority of the cases, people are reluctant to contact or to discuss the other side. But as soon as they find out that the person on the other side, that they share a lot of problems, they have common issues, then things are slowly moving further.
Overcoming the enmities of the past is a slow and often painful process. And Pritzer says the young ethnic Albanians and Serbs are discovering that they are still having to contend with the prejudices of others in their respective communities.
There are a lot of virtual friendships, but they are not showing it publicly because of possible security threats, because there are possibility for that on both sides.
So you're saying that if somebody has a friend with somebody from the rival ethnic group, it's not safe to talk about it because other people could object, could maybe even threaten them?
There is a lot of displaced people in Mitrovica on both sides. There is a lot of people that lost their family members on both sides. So it would not be wise to talk publicly about it because you never know how people can react.
So you're saying there's a lot of bitterness, particularly perhaps amongst the people who were older and can remember the war much more, say, than a young person.
Exactly, exactly.
As the following example by Pritzer proves, more and more of the young people involved in their program are learning to put aside past hatreds and embrace the path of reconciliation.
I can give you an example of the Albanian girl. Her father was missing since the 1999 war, and she was trying to be very polite and careful with her Serbian colleagues. In one occasion, one donor representative asked her some very tricky questions, like how you manage to work together with the Serbs, and she said openly, the war is behind us, I lost my father, we still don't know where he is, but I can see that these young people are exactly the same as I am, so we don't want to fight anymore.
It's CRS's hope that sentiments like that will become more widespread among Kosovo's young people and thus increase the chances of a peaceful future.
Susie Hodges was talking there to Petar Pritsa, head of youth programs for Catholic Relief Services in Mitrovica, and to Florent Vranitsa, head of Catholic Relief Services in Pristina.